You ever felt like you've been sleepwalking? How about the feeling when you get when you've been driving for a while, maybe you're going from here to Albuquerque, and you suddenly realize, or you ask yourself, what happened to Cuba? Anybody ever experienced something like that? Good. Well, maybe not so good, but at least I'm not the only one. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is sharing something and sharing a concern, who's warning, giving us a warning, really, of something far more serious matter. His concern is for those who are spiritually asleep. So be sure you don't take a nap this morning. I'll call you out. So let's take a brief look at the dangers of being spiritually asleep. There are several dangers of being spiritually asleep. We might use another term, and that would be spiritually insensitive, spiritually numb, spiritually unresponsive. Wesley said that being spiritually asleep is to exist in the state of utter darkness. Such a person, he says, is insensible to his real condition. He thinks of himself as perfectly fine, though he is unaware that he is alienated from God. After all, they may say to themselves, "Oh, I'm a good person." You hear that at funerals. He was a good guy. They weren't murderers. They didn't create civil unrest. They seemed to be productive citizens. And we tend to forget, or people tend to forget, that goodness, as we claim to have, is but, as the prophet Isaiah said, filthy rags. It has no comparison to the holiness of God. And what does God call us to be? Holy. Not good. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was called good, what did he say in response? There is only one who's truly good, and that's the Father. Some religious people think that because they're a member of some congregation, they attend, they participate, they give their offerings, they're nice folk, that they've met all the requirements for heaven. They're good. Paul intimates that those who have that view are actually those who are most in danger. They are spiritually dead. They do not see themselves as having any need to be saved. Jesus didn't go to the cross for them. He wouldn't need to. They're good. But you would ask, wait a minute, Brian, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, isn't he? He's addressing fellow Christians with this concern of being asleep. Indeed, he is. Many Christians walk through life spiritually insensitive. They don't attend to God. They don't listen for him. They don't look for him. Indeed, it's a very dangerous condition, one that can almost imperceptibly worsen over time. Christian surveys in recent years have indicated that a larger portion of most church folk are simply stuck. They're not growing. They're not seeking, they're not pursuing God. And there's folk who, and Paul warns of this in Romans 1, you know, those folk who lose awareness of God's presence and direction. They're numb to the Spirit's direction. They neither sense nor respond to his promptings and his warnings. And the results are that they wind up making poor decisions, or they fall prey to the traps that the world sets for them, and that our chief enemy of our souls puts in place. There's several biblical stories that we could go to that would illustrate this, but you know, the one that kind of stands out in my mind this morning is David. King David. He felt that all was good. Things were going so well that he didn't have to lead the army into battle. He could let his senior leaders take care of that problem. He was going to stay back in Jerusalem and take his leave. And that's when he had his falling with Bathsheba. Sexual temptation. Adultery. Deception. And finally, murder. And that's happened in Christians' lives too. When they're just going through the motions. When they don't have the awareness that life is serious business. That seeking God is primary. There's four of us who come together on Thursdays. At lunchtime, we don't eat normally. We started out saying we would, or that'd be all right, but I haven't seen anybody bring a meal lately. We're too interested in what's going on in the group. It's a group that's modeled after Wesley's band, which is a very intentional group that comes together, and we use his practical guide that helps us dig a little deeper, helps each one of us be accountable to the other, helps each one of us to dig and think about and be aware, be awake to the condition of our souls. And we read the same admonition every single Thursday, the one found in Ephesians 5:14. Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead. And then we go working through questions that help us kind of get a handle on where we're at with God, where are we at in life, how is our discipleship, how are we following Jesus or not. What's going on in us? It is not without sensitivity that sometimes one or more of us comes in the door and there's discouragement, or there may be grief, there may be anger. All those things are real and are fit for conversation. Awake, O sleeper. Wake up. There's warning signs of going to sleep like David experienced. You know, and when we do, let me just give you a few warning signs. You know, you have on your car, in your car, a dash board that has indicators, and Lord have mercy, There only used to be, you know, there used to be an idiot light. And the idiot light came on if your engine was too hot. The only problem with the idiot light was that if the light came on, it was too late. It was fried. Well, now we have lights for windshield wiper fluid level, whether or not all your tires are properly aired, not to mention, you know, the engine temperature, gas level, oil pressure, whether or not your alternator is charging your battery, and there's so many, and that's just a few that, and there's so many that are hidden. You know, if there's a problem, you have an idiot light come on. So what kind of indicators might we have that we're not fully awake, or that we're in danger of going to sleep spiritually? Well, how about the one that where we, like David, justify our sin? It's okay. It doesn't matter. How about the one where we lose the desire to pursue God in prayer? Or we don't read His Word and allow His Word to interpret us, not us interpret it. That God's Word is the authority. And we don't try to rationalize it away. Or how about we say, it's okay if I don't go to worship. You know, I get it. Believe me, we're getting ready to retire here in a few months. I'll have to admit that there may be a Sunday or two or three that I'll get up and say, this is a Sunday that I need to rest, and I'm staying right where I'm at. But when that becomes the norm, where I'm no longer pursuing God, no longer pursuing to have the fellowship I need to have with other believers who have that same heart's desire, then that gets to be a problem. There are some who want to cast that aside, say, well, it's not perfect. Well, it wasn't perfect when you showed up either. You're in danger of becoming spiritually asleep when you ignore the conviction that the Holy Spirit will bring sometimes upon you. You know, there's something that needs to be attended to, something that needs to change. There's something that maybe you need to do in response to it. We can become spiritually deaf to the Holy Spirit, and that's a very dangerous place to be. And for that to be restored, for that to be healed, is not an immediate thing. An unrepentant attitude is another. All these aren't good. And the reason Paul tells us is in the beginning in verse 15. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Now friends, if you're making the most of every opportunity, that means you need to be alert. And we've all heard that the world needs more alerts. Be alert. Come on, people, that was good. Well, this morning I want to offer you an opportunity. Let me ask you, do any of these indicators speak to your heart? Do they touch upon your heart and go, that one says something to me? Do they touch upon what you're experiencing in life? Well, what then can we do? How do we become more aware? How do we grow into a greater sensitivity to the Spirit? You want to know how to be roused and awakened? To be a spiritually alert person and know His presence and His power in your life? Well, let me share a few steps with you for spiritual awakening. First, think about it. When you're called to be awake, there has to be an acknowledgement that you ain't there. Think about Jesus and His story of the prodigal son who came to his senses. He came to that point of realizing, grief, I've brought myself to this place. You see, he saw his condition for what it really was. He was far away in a foreign country from his father. And having realized that, having come acknowledged that, his next step was that he was repentant. And with King David, he wrote that wonderful psalm, the 51st psalm, and the first four verses are about his repentant attitude. And once there is that repentance, then God is set free to begin working in your heart and in your mind to renew you. Paul, in the 12th chapter of Romans, calls for the renewing of our minds, seeking God's light that's revealed in His Word. And in so doing, it enables us to be transformed. Because as the light is shed on our hearts and our lives, what you begin to see where the shadows are, those places that you have kept. We were talking about that in the class this morning, just briefly. And there's things that we like to keep in the shadows. There's things also that, well, we sometimes find ourselves being confronted, attacked, because we're trying to walk in the light, and those who have darkness don't like the light. More about that in a moment. But as we are transformed, we're being conformed to Christ and His way of life. Seek godly counsel to be awake. To be alert. Whether it's an individual or a small group, I heard another testimony this morning from one of you about the importance, they weren't saying it this way, but they were talking about the importance of their small group that they meet with on a weekly basis and what that does for them and their walk and their awareness of God in their life and giving them strength for their journey, giving them light as sometimes the darkness would otherwise envelope their soul. Counsels found not just with other individuals, but within that group. The next one is important. Not that the others weren't, but this one is found within the scripture of Ephesians 5. Commit yourself to a life of holiness. Holiness. John tells us to walk in the light as He is the light. And he and Paul here show us that light is synonymous with holiness. Jesus intends that we be saints here, holy ones here, whose lives bring light to the world. Robert Louis Stevenson, as a boy, was looking out the window. This is, of course, many, many decades, even more than a century ago, And he was watching it as dusk came on, the workman making his way, the lamplighter making his way down the street. And he was on stilts, and he was lighting the oil lamps, the gas lights, lamps, along the way so that there would be light up and down the street. And his mother walked by him as he was looking out the window, and she asked him, "What's going on? What are you doing?" And he says, "I see a man making holes in the dark." That's part of our calling. We're to be hole makers. Because the light of Christ in us brings light where there would otherwise be darkness. You see, I want to call your attention to something here. Let me pull out my glasses. Paul said, has written something here that it just kind of caught me. The impact of verse 8 was significant to me this week, because normally we think about being in darkness or in light, don't we? We don't think of ourselves personified that way. But look what Paul says. He says, "You were once darkness." You were dark. Darkness resided in you. But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And then he goes on to talk about the fruits of the darkness. Be careful how you live. The psalmist said that the holiness of God in us makes us shine as the noonday sun in a dark world. Christ's light in us pokes holes in the dark. So whatever the Spirit would lay on your heart this morning that might be, something that's in your life that's maybe it's on the line, or something that you just have a sense that I've been asleep at the wheel. Not in every way, maybe, but in some particular area of your life. Get laser focused on walking with Jesus and being the light. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Follow Paul's exhortation in verse 18 to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. To be continuously filled. Notice that is written in the passive. You can't fill yourself. You have to open yourself, but to allow Him, the Spirit, to fill you. So, as I've worked through this with you this morning, as I've thought about it and as I've talked, there's things that I found myself thinking, boy, Brian, you really could have done a better job there. There's some things you could have said it better, you could have thought it through a little better. But I pray the Spirit's been at work, as I've shared with you. And so, let me offer some direction for prayer that you might even breathe now or in the days to come. Lord, I confess my need to be fully awake. Awake, O sleeper. Lord, awaken me. Stir up my spirit. May the fire of your light burn in me. Holy Spirit, keep my heart sensitive to your promptings and warnings. Help me to hear you. Help me to perceive you. Lord, help me to deny myself of the comforts and pleasures that distract me from you, that would make me numb to you. Last, Father, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. That may sound familiar to you. It should. It's the end of David's psalm, the 51st psalm. Awake, O sleeper. And listen to that promise. And Christ will shine on you. Live in the promise. Awaken the light and be his light. Amen.